welcome to the Cutting Edge News Program, The Divided Kingdom. Elizabeth Cuppett Cavalli and I, Lou Cavalli, have been bringing you news and news views since fall 2003. It's June 30th, 2022, and in our final installment of our June Journal of the Reprobate Mind, People and Events, we, like the whole world, have been awed by the omnipotence and mercy of God. Yahweh has done what on earth was humanly impossible. After 49 years of Roe versus Wade, he moved through SCOTUS to lift the second curse from America. Slavery, the first curse, was removed in the bloody Civil War. Again, only through God's divine power to restore America to us. Lincoln remarked, the better angels of our nature. Divided Kingdom listeners, let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly give everlasting thanks for your astounding miracle, a permanent blow to murder factories of preborn infants, the primary one being Planned Parenthood, the gruesome hands of ghoul abortion doctors such as Kermit Gosnell will be chained up as righteous U.S. people force states to end the baby murder. Lord God, we repent and ask you to give us more mercy and help to end the other horrors Satan is doing in this once beautiful godly land. Convict our hearts of these horrendous doings in the dark of night, and flood America with men and women on their knees, crying out in shame, and give them new repentant hearts. Help us, Jesus, to return to you and your Holy Bible. Amen. And now, Elizabeth and I, before we move into documenting the horrors that remain to be fought against in this June Reprobate Mind account, let's check out the joyful reactions to the Supreme Court's supremely important decision, probably the most important case it ever had or will have in the whole history of constitutional America.
Yes, Lou. LifeSite News had this headline, "This is a momentous day. Pro-life U.S. senators cheer Roe reversal." One of the most unjust decisions in American history has been overturned, Senator Josh Hawley said. This was by Matt Lamb, Friday, June 24, 2022. Washington, D.C., LifeSite News. Republican senators cheered the Supreme Court of the United States' SCOTUS ruling today that reversed Roe v. Wade. Missouri's Josh Hawley, whose wife assisted on the case as an attorney for Alliance Defending Freedom, called it a, quote, momentous day. Quote, this is a momentous day in America when the efforts of generations of modern-day abolitionists comes to fruition, Hawley tweeted. One of the most unjust decisions in American history has been overturned. Quote, one of those modern-day abolitionists is my wife, Erin, who served as counsel to Mississippi on this case and helped write the briefs that prevailed at the Supreme Court, he tweeted. She is an amazing woman, and this is an amazing victory for life. One of those modern-day abolitionists, he said, was his wife, Erin. And then he went on to say, for those who wondered why I said 2 years ago I would vote to confirm only Supreme Court justices who acknowledged Roe was wrong, this is why. Amy Barrett was the first openly pro-life nominee of my lifetime, and she was the deciding vote. The Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case reversing Roe v. Wade is nothing short of a massive victory for life, and it will save the lives of millions of innocent babies, Senator Ted Cruz tweeted. The Texas Republican called Roe one of the most egregious departures from the Constitution and legal precedent the United States has ever seen, and one that has resulted in the deaths of 63 million American children. The decision reverses one of as he said, the most egregious departures. I see that this article has one of those repetitious paragraphs, Lou. So often we see this happening, and we don't know whether this could be interference from the other side. But anyway, Senator Ted Cruz said this June 24th. Having worked alongside Tennesseans to protect the innocent lives of unborn children for years, I applaud today's Supreme Court ruling, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee tweeted. And Lou, you and I remember, we have to interject here, that back when, after 9/11, the transportation. It was at the TSA, wasn't it?
I
think that would do all the checking and of the passengers going on the flights. And when they were abusing it, they were torturing some handicapped children in wheelchairs and other things. Really, Senator Marsha Blackburn really stood up very strongly against those abuses. Now, back to the article, Arkansas's Tom Cotton called Roe a tragic mistake and thanked pro-life activists for their work to reverse it. Quote, "The Supreme Court has finally corrected this mistake, and I highly commend the millions of Americans who toiled for years to achieve this great victory for unborn life and self-government." And again, Lou, we interject to thank Dan and Donna Holman in Iowa, who worked tirelessly time after time after time for decades, and we hope and pray that they are rejoicing that God did this wonderful miracle. Then we also have in the article, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida praised the ruling and released his plans for what he wants to happen next to support families. Quote, "Today the Supreme Court correctly returned the power to regulate abortion to the states," he tweeted. "I will soon introduce a proposal to support mothers and their babies so that every child has a real opportunity to pursue the promise of America. Now we need a pro-life plan for post-Roe America." And I think there might be just a little bit more here as I turn the page. No, I think that is it. And go
all
ahead,
right.
Lou.
Yes, from LifeSite News, newly elected U.S. Representative Mara Flores praises Roe being overturned, says it's a dream come true. By Anthony Murdoch, June 24th, 2022. Washington. South Texas pro-life representative, Republican Mara Flores, who just won a seat in Congress in an upset, praised Roe versus Wade being overturned as a big win for life. "Hallelujah. I woke up this morning praying for this, and I honestly thought it would never happen," Flores said at a press conference today. This is a dream come true for me, for South Texas. In South Texas, we're pro-life," she added, while making an appearance on Fox News. Flores said that today's overturning of Roe versus Wade, quote, "was a big win for us in South Texas, but also for our country. And we have to start respecting life. We have to start valuing life," she noted. "This is clear, or it is clear, that the Constitution never created a right to abortion, and this ruling rightly returns the authority to regulate abortion back to the people and their elected representatives in the states," she added. Flores, who was born in Mexico and moved to the U.S. at age 6, recently won a special election in Texas's 34th congressional district. "This is the first time this area has chosen a Republican over a Democrat in more than 150 years. She is also the first Mexican-born woman sworn in to the U.S. Congress. Flores is the first GOP candidate to represent that area of the Rio Grande Valley since 1870, wrote the Houston Chronicle. "In a monumental decision in favor of life this morning, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its long-anticipated ruling in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, overturning Roe versus Wade. The decision upheld Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban and effectively ends the nearly 50-year-old Roe versus Wade ruling that imposed abortion on demand on all 50 states. The court said, quote, "The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision," unquote. Laws concerning abortion are now solely with each state.
And LifeSite News again, David McClone, Saturday, June 25th, Roe has fallen. These states are already protecting the unborn. Numerous states had anticipatory trigger bans on the books ahead of the Supreme Court's decision on Dobbs, while others are able to reenact historic anti-abortion laws, which until now had been superseded by Roe. Many U.S. states have outlawed abortion. in the wake of the Supreme Court overturning the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling, largely owing to what we talked about a minute ago, trigger laws set up in anticipation of the historic decision. 13 states had prepared trigger bans on abortion, either completely banning or severely limiting access to abortion within 30 days of the fall of Roe. Those states include Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming. State authorities acted swiftly to enact abortion bans, with Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announcing that Missouri would be the first state to protect life in the womb by banning abortion just minutes after the court's decision on Dobbs had been handed down. Quote, with the Dobbs decision just handed down in a stroke of my pen, Missouri became the first state to effectively end abortion and has become the most pro-life state in America, Schmidt tweeted Friday morning. Here in Missouri, the people's voice has already made clear that Missourians respect the sanctity of human life. We believe that without the explicit protection of the right to life, all liberties are under attack, which is why the importance of this day cannot be overstated, Schmidt said in a Friday press statement. I am humbled to be a part of this and the first attorney general in the country to effectively end abortion. As a long champion of the rights of the unborn and Missouri families, I pledge to continue to fight for our most fundamental right, the right to life. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem released a press statement Friday announcing that, quote, as of today, all abortions are illegal in South Dakota. Every abortion always had two victims, the unborn child and the mother. Today's decision will save unborn lives in South Dakota, but there's more work to do, Noem said. We must do what we can to help mothers in crisis. Know that there are options and resources available for them. Together, we will ensure that abortion is not only illegal in South Dakota, it is unthinkable. And Lou Caverly, I interject here. You and I were listening to that amazing broadcaster, Hawk, and he's on Global Star. We think it's right before we are. He talked about one of his grandmothers. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And what?
Now, she helped out with many young women who had to give birth.
I think with the birthing itself.
Yes.
And then she helped line up people to adopt the children and oversee their welfare. And I think that he said maybe 10 years later they went back and checked on the children. They were doing well.
Yes, he did say that. That's right.
So back to this article, another state now. Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge on Friday afternoon implemented the state's 2019 trigger law, stating that the only time that an abortion is legal in Arkansas is to save the life of the mother. Roe was wrong on that day in 1973, and it has been wrong every day since, she added. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron announced that abortion is, quote, for all intents and purposes over in Kentucky following Friday's ruling on Dobbs. In an advisory opinion issued Friday, Cameron noted that the 2019 Kentucky Human Life Protection Act, quote, prohibits abortion in most circumstances. Generally speaking, it states that no person may knowingly cause or aid in the, quote, termination of the life of an unborn human being. The prohibition on performing abortions in KRS 311.772 became effective on June 24, 2022, the date on which the Supreme Court issued its decision in Dobbs, the attorney wrote. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine confirmed on Friday that the state's heartbeat bill, banning abortions after detection of fetal cardiac activity, typically after 6 weeks gestation, had gone into effect after Attorney General Dave Yost filed for dismissal of a 3-year injunction on the bill that had blocked its enactment until Roe was overturned. DeWine later signed an executive order directing the Ohio Department of Health to adopt emergency rules implementing the state's newly enacted anti-abortion legislation. A further five states, Alabama, Arizona, Michigan, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, which did not have the trigger laws in place, are nevertheless able to outlaw abortion immediately due to historic bans on the barbaric practice previously superseded by Roe, now coming back into force. However, the Democrat governors of both Michigan and Wisconsin have initiated processes in state courts to overturn the historic abortion bans in their respective jurisdictions. Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan announced she would fight like hell, that's a quote, to stop the state's 1931 abortion ban from being reenacted as it is currently under temporary injunction. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has said that he will, quote, do everything in his power to overturn Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban, which has come into effect following the toppling of Roe. As many as 26 states are now expected to introduce strict limitations on abortion procurement. Meanwhile, the governors of West Coast states, California, Oregon, and Washington have vowed to ensure that women can still kill their unborn children within their state boundaries in a multi-state commitment, declaring the region a safe haven for all people seeking abortion. And Lou, I believe that we must interject here that the fight is not over. The fight is just being joined. You and I heard some very important details about what happened in Seattle, and this was from Mike Adams's Monday, June 27th, situation update. And Lou, some of these details were beyond shocking, of the reprobate mind. You and I are completing our chronicling here in June, the June reprobate mind, the people and events. What do you recall that Mike reported some of these unforgettable, horrible, degrading scenes?
Yes, repulsive, I think, is the word. This was in Seattle at some sort of a parade.
Pride.
Yeah, I guess it was a gay pride parade. And in that parade, and by the way, there were a lot of children looking on. This was, you know, out in the public. There were men urinating in each other's mouths. One guy, on I think on a bicycle, had a mock penis on his head, a mock vagina, and he was simulating having sex with himself.
And he may not have been on a bicycle, because
maybe not.
Mike also talked about the naked men riding bicycles.
That
and
too.
As you pointed out, this was not family friendly, not to any normal human being who is a mother or a father. Absolutely not. And then there were some other details. The Boy Scouts were on the march, and they had emblems of the LGBTQ business. And Mike made an interesting comment there. He said, you must carry the message of Luciferian domination over America. And, of course, we know that the Boy Scouts have had a long history cover-up of the pedophilia, just like the Roman Catholic Church priests, etc. So, you know, also on that program, it was brought out the part that you and I kept talking about the corporations during this June journaling, didn't we? Like,
yes,
Ben
we
and
did.
Jerry's and State Farm, how very degraded some of their things were, working into the children's education hours, in school, out of school, horrible books, degrading books on transgender, on other things to warp their minds at an early age. Well, these corporations were mentioned too, Apple, Levi's, Disney, and these corporations, listeners, are going to pay $4,000 for a woman to travel to a place where she can get an abortion. Do we hear who our enemies are? They are surrounding us. And, you know, also, I think that broadcast talked about the police cars in Columbus, Ohio. They have the LGBTQ insignia on them. And just yesterday, we were looking at our local paper, a small area, Denton, Maryland, very small area, they had a drag hour at a bar, and I think 100 people had to pay to get in, and they were in there, and there were 5 drag queens entertaining them, and they would parade around, and it said one of them had one of the onlookers cradled at her breasts. They showed a picture of that, and there were 70% of these spectators were women, young women. And, you know, it really occurred to me how stupid they are. And they were making these comments. I guess their lives are so dull. They said, you know, it was just kind of a neat thing. They get ready and they take their kids to school and they never see costuming like this. They never get to see this. This is something new and this is something kind of, it lights up their lives. But you think about this. If we don't stand up now, things are going to get much, much, much more hellish. And we have to mention, I guess, right here and now, we also heard another broadcast by Hawk. And again, we say he's on Global Star, I think Thursdays and Fridays. And this was the June 23rd broadcast. And he made this very deep statement, listeners, do not go into that Luciferian night without a fight. It's kind of a takeoff on Dylan Thomas, the poet's, I think, do not go gently into that good night, meaning we should always fight for life. We should fight for our own lives. Are you prepared? Do you have enough food stored? Are you praying to God? Are you thanking Him from the bottom of your heart for this amazing miracle, this mercy to an unrepentant country? God wants us to pray that the country will put on ashes and sackcloth, that the country will finally realize it is a horrible thing to be mutilating little children, cutting off their genitals, just as it was a horrible thing to be aborting those millions of babies. So at any rate, this is what we have to tell you. We thought about waiting because I think our next category in July will be sort of like shocks and secrets of the summer. But I realized when we came to the mic, Lou, we had to get this out now. And we may get more details, but Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, they're not going to tell you what Hawk informed us in Tulane, Texas. The FBI raided churches. They went in there with automatic weapons. Now, my goodness, I wonder, was Mike Pence in there again committing treason? Were there biolabs being run in there by the Christian churches, biolabs that might concoct new things? We just heard, too, I think it might be Moderna, but some of the big heads of one of the companies, the pharmaceutical companies who brought you the COVID clot shots, maybe it's a couple of them, they are about to meet to figure out how to change the booster shots so that it can apply to the more dangerous Omicron. Uh-oh. Is something new creeping toward us with a novel gain of function? Is death part two coming? I looked at the newspapers right before we came to get this program on ready for air. Lou, again, these people are dying peacefully at their homes or unexpectedly at their homes. No, it's going to probably be billions of people who eventually die, rather unseen. No, these Christians in these churches that were raided in Tulane. Lou, what were they doing? You tell me. Tell our listeners.
They were praying. They were doing what anyone does in a church. They certainly weren't doing anything subversive.
No, their only crime was that they had invited some soldiers from Fort Hood to come to their churches. Do we see if we do not stand up now? And listeners, we thank you for helping us. You have carried us over a terrible precipice financially that we were facing. we have now paid for WWCR, the July programs. Hallelujah. Thank you. Some of you don't have very much, but you helped us. And one person said, I don't know what happened. I got a lot more work lately. And that was one of the people who took us over the top. We really thank all of you, all of you. Some of you are very faithful, almost monthly. Some of you do provide something monthly, if it's $10 or if it's $100. It helps. God knows exactly what is needed. And, you know, I've told a story about a wonderful Christian doctor who was pushed out of Maryland because he was anti-abortion years and years and years and years ago. And he moved up to Pennsylvania, and the Amish people, who wouldn't trust the outside world very much, they loved him. And sadly, he was killed needlessly by a drunken driver early in one morning as he was driving his Jeep to the hospital to see his wife, who was having a heart problem. And he lived long enough to talk to the paramedics. His carotid artery was severed. But that man, you see, stood up. He stood up for the right, and he paid a price. People are paying prices. We've heard that Carrie Madej and her boyfriend had a plane crash, and they're injured. They're alive, but they're injured. Was this the New World Order? We've heard it said that the Pfizer whistleblower, Brandy Vaughn, was murdered. So we ask you, listeners, to pray for people like Hawk. Like Mike Adams, we don't like his leanings toward the New Age, and some things are a little vulgar, but we also know that he did give a very, very important, good, solid interview, and that was that Monday, June 27th. If you go to naturalnews.com, you can hear. We would agree with just about everything that he said on that situation update. But now, what is coming? Is it persecution of Christians? We do believe that that is the opening salvo, isn't it, Lou?
It definitely will
into
be
lean,
at some point.
To lean.
It seems to be coming soon.
Yes, they're trying. The government is trying to eliminate all Christians out of the military. So we need a lot of prayer about that. If you would like to help us with Global Star Communications, you can write a check right to it or a money order. Some cash would be helpful to us. You can just write a blank check if you want to. We are going to have many more expenses every month. We must pay the $600 to Global Star Communications and WWCR, and that doesn't count for the paper we need. And the telephone, that charges about $70. Oh, right now, we would say that we have enough postage stamps, and we really thank three or four of you who have sent us them. We ask you to keep Fred in prayer with that agonizing back, and Frank, as he recovers from open heart surgery, and the health of that wonderful Pennsylvania doctor who is faithfully behind us. We ask for prayers for them. And now we must move on to the next celebration of Roe being gone.
Canadian reaction to the overturning of Roe versus Wade brings happiness from pro-lifers and anger from leftists. This was from LifeSite News by Anthony Murdoch, Friday, June 24th. After news broke this morning of the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe versus Wade, the reaction from Canadian politicians and media pundits was swift, with many praising the decision, but others venting a wave of disturbing anger. Campaign Life Coalition, CLC, Director of Political Operations Jack Fonseca told LifeSite News that the news coming out of the United States is, quote, wonderful, unquote. And he went on to say, tens of thousands of babies in the womb will be saved from death in states which proceed to make the child murder of abortion illegal. God is good. The Archdiocese of Edmonton, Alberta, both retweeted the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops statement praising the news of Roe versus Wade being overturned and had this pro-life message to say for itself. Tweeted the Archdiocese, quote, continue to pray for the legal protection of life from conception to natural death in America and Canada, unquote. Perhaps the most egregious reaction came from Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who said today's U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe versus Wade was, quote, horrific, unquote, and he vowed to continue advocating for the killing of the unborn in Canada.
And Lou, remember, everything is Orwellian. To the Luciferians, what we call horrific was the murder of those millions of babies.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think it's your turn now.
And I want to say that we want to provide the updates for those wonderful listeners that we have in Canada, too. And one of them, two of them, recently gave help to us in the June-July period. So we're thankful. And if you want to help us, the address is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, some of the older listeners, we want to just put out this emergency alert. Do not be without taking sublingual vitamin B12. And when you're over age 50, you can't digest it. You don't have enough intrinsic factor if you swallow it in a pill. So you must buy some good brand. You know, we used to get Twin Labs, but it went defunct. Then we looked for Solgar, S-O-L-G-A-R. And there are some other good brands. Try not to get something that's cheap from China. But get sublingual B12 tablets, and then you take them an hour after you've eaten or drunk something, and then you have to wait another hour before you would eat or drink. So in other words, there has to be a curtain around on either side of you taking it, before and after, so that it can be absorbed right into you. Your body, and you just let it sort of dissolve under your tongue. Now, Lou has a Methodist minister cousin who did social work, and she reported that in a nursing home there was a woman who always had hallucinations when her B12 was low. So this is not something you should not listen to. Everybody needs to be doing this. Now, Lou and I don't get it taken every day, but maybe every week or two we'll do this, and we might take 6 to 9 little tablets, and there are almost no side effects to it. So we feel very, very strongly that some of our listeners are older, and we want to avoid any kinds of mental confusion or things that will take you out of your home and to the nursing homes and to the camps. We don't want it. So now, quickly going on, we have World Net Daily, Alveda King on Roe overturned. Praise God, but the work's not over. And, of course, we know, I'll shorten this, that she was the niece of Martin Luther King. And we don't fully endorse him. There were communist ties with him. There were things going on. But this is very, very interesting that Alveda King herself had a number of abortions till she repented. And she's the founder of Speak for Life and chairman of the Center for the American Dream at America First Policy Institute. She recalled, now this is from the article, and this again was WorldNet Daily, Art Moore, June 24th. She recalled that after becoming a born-again Christian in 1983, she repented of her abortions and became a voice for life. Her grandfather, she said. Now, I guess, Lou, that would be Martin Luther King's father, wouldn't it?
Yes, Martin Luther King Sr., I would
Yes, saved her from being aborted herself in 1950 through a dream he had of her before she was born. King described the dream as a prophetic ultrasound. He saw me in the dream 3 years before I was born and was able to describe me to my mother and ask her not to abort me, she said. So I am not a stranger to the pitfalls that abortion brings, but I also am not a stranger to the grace and mercy of God. King said she believes America is on the mend. We are understanding, she said, that life from the womb to the tomb is sacred. Now, do you hear that? That's an amazing story, listeners. And the power that went up there in that prayer that you helped Lou make, that was power to reach God. And when God Almighty then turns and answers, I never dreamed in my lifetime Roe versus Wade would fall. Did you, Lou?
No, I didn't.
49 years It's just truly remarkable. But let's move on.
And I guess I have the next one from LifeSite News. Justice Thomas says SCOTUS should revisit rulings on same-sex marriage, sodomy, contraception. This is by Matt Lamb, Friday, June 24th, Washington. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a concurring opinion today in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case that reversed Roe versus Wade. In it, Justice Thomas agreed that Roe should be reversed and argued that the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, should next revisit other, quote, substantive due process cases, unquote. He specifically mentioned Lawrence versus Texas, which struck down laws against sodomy, Griswold versus Connecticut, which struck down laws against married couples using contraception, and Obergefell versus Hodges, which declared a right to same-sex, quote, marriage, unquote. The late Justin Antonin Scalia correctly predicted in 2003 that the case Lawrence would lead to the required recognition of homosexual marriage. Justice Thomas wrote, quote, the court well explains why, under our substantive due process precedents, the purported right to abortion is not a form of, quote, liberty protected by the due process clause, unquote. Justice Thomas has previously criticized Obergefell, and that again is the case that declared a right to same-sex marriage. Quote, by choosing to privilege a novel constitutional right over the religious liberty interests explicitly protected in the First Amendment, and by doing so undemocratically, the court has created a problem that only it can fix, unquote. Thomas wrote in 2020, commenting on the denial by SCOTUS to hear a challenge from Kentucky clerk Kim Davis, who refused to authorize same-sex, quote, marriages, unquote. Until then, Obergefell will continue to have ruinous consequences for religious liberty, he predicted.
And next we have LifeSite News. The headline is, for June 24th, 19 state attorneys general call on Biden administration to confront pro-abortion terrorism. We know that, as we said, the fight between the satanic demons of planned death, anarchy, and chaos in America and God's people is not over. And so this is, you see, now a backlash coming. And so this letter was written by the 19 state attorneys general led by Ohio AG Dave Yost. And it says, pushed the Biden administration's Department of Justice on Tuesday to investigate and prosecute domestic terrorism committed against pro-life groups and churches. The letter addressed to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland came just days ahead of the Supreme Court's landmark ruling overturning Roe v. Wade on Friday and called on the Biden administration to draw its attention to the recent spate of terroristic threats and acts directed at pro-life organizations around the country. And now, we'll say that the situation in Tulane with the FBI taking their automatic weapons and raiding the churches, that doesn't bode well for what Merrick Garland is going to institute or any of it. And we're going to have to be tough and we're going to have to really stand up. And now I think we're moving right on. Lou and I have radio monologues tonight of importance.
Another SCOTUS victory amidst the ongoing assault on our fundamental right of self-defense. Radio Monologue, June 30th, Lou Cavalli. This week has seen a great blessing from God in the Roe versus Wade reversal, and a second SCOTUS decision, too. The latter struck down an oppressive New York law that required a citizen to provide an explanation of why a handgun was needed outside the home before a permit would be issued. It seems obvious that such a weapon is needed for protection in New York, especially in New York City, with its rampant crime. We can rejoice that the Supreme Court threw out the law by a 6-3 vote. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the majority opinion. He stated that the right to bear arms was not a, quote, second-class right, unquote. He explained that no other article in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution requires a person to provide a reason why they should be able to exercise that God-given right. Freedom of speech, for example, does not depend on citizens coming up with reasons why they should be allowed to voice their opinions. Nor does the Fifth Amendment, that is, no one is compelled to testify against oneself in a criminal court of law, necessitate a reason for invoking it. The same is true of every other article of the Bill of Rights. The court says the Second Amendment is no different. This is a great victory for Americans. Several states, including my own state of Maryland, have tried to restrict gun possession by law-abiding citizens through coercive laws. Until now, it has been difficult and time-consuming to obtain a handgun permit here in Maryland. This new court decision should remedy that. It will force state governments to come up with good reasons for denying permits, reasons that will survive future court appeals. Nevertheless, we cannot relax and become apathetic. Forces are still at work to take away our means of protection. President Biden signed a new law just yesterday, the most significant law, gun legislation in the last 30 years, and I'll interject that that was, I believe, last Friday. I composed this several days back. And that comes in the wake of mass shootings in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas. One alarming provision of this legislation encourages states to enact more so-called red flag laws. These allow a person to go to law enforcement if they think another person poses a danger.
Very Soviet-like.
Yes. You can tattle on your neighbors. The subject of that accusation can be denied a gun permit or have one revoked. This, while sounding like a good idea at first hearing, invites widespread abuse. In one egregious case here in Maryland a few years ago, a person's gun was seized based on a false accusation of mental illness. It is transparent that red flag laws can easily be used to take away firearms. The only good aspect of the new law Biden signed is advising states to unseal the violent offense records of juveniles. The U.S. government looks more and more like it's escalating, trying to disarm the American people, targeting political dissenters first. Laura Loomer, now running for Congress and from Florida, was denied a concealed carry permit. At first, the authorities refused to tell her why. Then they said that her name appeared in the NIC system, short for National Instant Criminal Background Check System. This list is operated by the FBI, and Laura suspects that her vocal criticism of former FBI Director James Comey resulted in her being put on the list. There is no due process. Apparently, the FBI can add anyone they feel like to the list. Loomer will have to take her case to court if she wants to get her gun permit. Here in Maryland, another gun restriction went into effect on June 1st. This requires a personal identification number for all unserialized firearms, often called ghost guns. This applies not only to guns that are purchased, but also to those that are inherited or given to another person. These firearms must then be registered with the Maryland State Police, and a full background investigation must be conducted. Violators can be subject to 2 years in prison and or a fine of up to $10,000. President Biden's statement after the Supreme Court decision is typical. These are his words. It contradicts both common sense and the Constitution and should deeply trouble us all. And New York Governor Hochul stated, quote, "This decision isn't just reckless, it's reprehensible," unquote. Both Biden and Hochul obviously belong to those government leaders who would love to see the citizenry completely helpless.
And I'm going to interject there, Lou, that Hochul is one of the governors who said she's going to have an abortion sanctuary in New York.
Yes, that's just right. Just right. So they want to see us as completely helpless, obedient serfs. Throughout history, dictators have been quick to deprive the masses of any means of self-defense. Whether it was Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Castro, or Pol Pot, disarming their populations was a first priority. Then the countries were ripe for censorship, mass imprisonments, and genocide. We are already seeing widespread censorship in news media and big tech. It is no accident that opinions in opposition to the government are not permitted to become widespread. A recent example is the reaction of these media to any criticism of the COVID so-called vaccines, no matter how strongly backed by science. If the government can deprive Americans of their Second Amendment rights, how long will it be before imprisonments and genocide follow?
Yes, and that was an important essay, Lou. And we can tell our listeners that both of our monologues tonight are now posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Please tell others. We need the program to grow. We need to have Christians awaken and stand up, or we will be overcome by total depravity in America. And now my radio monologue is entitled, Is God Revealing More of the Pharaoh to the Pharmacy's Plot? Does he want to have a repentant America for his own? On June 22, 2022, two landmark truth-teller guests were interviewed on the Stu Peters Show. In the week of God's great miracle, excising the cancerous tumor of Roe v. Wade from the body politic of America, one authoritative guest had new shocking details of what January 6, 2021 really represented. Equally excellent was the second guest's documentation of new clot-shot incriminating facts. First, there was a riveting account of Pastor Stan Lovins, and I believe that's spelled capital L-O-V-I-N-S, Stan Lovins. This unique personal story really seems to indicate to us that God is revealing more and more of the engineered darkness and evil because he does not want the country of America to fall. The battle lines between Satan and Jesus Christ are being more closely drawn all the time. January 5th, one day before the eventful day of January 6th, Pastor Lovins recounts how a person in the know sent him a copy of a memo, the original being sent to Vice President Pence. The memo delineated the overwhelming evidence of the 2020 presidential election fraud, including Dominion's voting machines and the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, influence. These talking points, of course, assumed Mike Pence would save the Constitution with the 2020 election results declared null and void. Pence had been trumpeted as a devout Christian in a key interview in Decision Magazine, publication of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, now headed by Dr. Franklin Graham, who later advised Christians that Jesus would want them to take the fetal cell-derived COVID-19 vaccines. He didn't call them that, of course. I have to clarify that. And then was found himself by inexplicable myocarditis, that serious heart inflammation. But Pence went his own treasonous way, refusing to stand up for good and for God's truth. And I have to interject here, I believe, Lou, that we were told in the news that Donald Trump was supporting Mike Pence's brother for some political position. Now, the swamp really knows its own, don't they?
They do.
Back to the essay, like Judas getting the 30 pieces of silver for betraying our precious Savior, Pence, pennies, that's his name, you see, Pence, old-time name for pennies, was caught on video with a man slipping him what appeared to be a Masonic or secret society-type coin he pocketed. Next day, and this is after, you see, I have to interject, Pastor Stan got this memo, you see. He went then on January 6th to Washington, D.C. with one mission only, to pray. At the Ellipse, around 9 a.m., he says the Lord instructed him to move on toward the Capitol building. At that moment, he saw white vans pull up, escorted by Capitol Police and federal officials. They dropped off Antifa members. Two of these personages, Lovins recalls, were somewhat familiar to American TV watchers, one who wore horns, another who wore a devil sweatshirt. An officer commanded onlookers to cease video recording, no doubt to foil a record of the vans and Antifa being a significant part of the January 6th events. God gave Pastor Lovins, that's Stan Lovins, a strong word of knowledge, breach. our beloved America of the 1940s and 1950s. Its Christian light sending missionaries all over the world is under vicious spiritual attack. Pastor Lovins observed people carrying CCP signs and turned to talk to an older man, a federal officer who no doubt still represented the old, beautiful America without immorality and lawlessness. This law official agreed with the pastor that, quote, Antifa was at the head of this. The second guest Stu Peters interviewed on June 22nd, James Roguski of Substack, blew the whistle on info from a website he recaptured after Big Pharma took it down, pandemicofthevaccinated.com, and it had two X's for the C's in vaccinated. Again, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who let little children come unto him, saying they showed us what the kingdom of heaven was like, also gravely warned that anyone who harmed the little ones would fare worse than a person with a millstone put around his neck and drowned. Are you, as a Christian person, going to read these horrors and take no action, not even to pray or tell others this info? For here is what Roguski revealed. Number one, the CDC, June 18th, called for COVID vaccination of children as young as 6 months old. Two, Moderna's two shots have eight times as much mRNA in them as do Pfizer's. And that would mean for these tiny babies, these six-month-old babies, you see. And now that brings us to point three. Infants would get the same vax amount as the five-year-olds. Think of the harm. Four, two-thirds of the children dropped out of the trials before April 29th. So all the data was just thrown away. Only 80 children were left, and the immunobridging story changed on September 2nd from, quote, protection to an, quote, immune response getting antibodies, end of quote. Point five, the FDA meeting June 28th wanted to make mRNA bivalent, mixing the Wuhan mRNA with the Omicron. The FDA wanted this change with no additional testing. And I'm interjecting, Elizabeth Cuppett-Caverly here, that what I heard on the radio news seems like a little echo of this point, that they were discussing whether to change what was now in these COVID clot shots, supposedly to be more effective. And see, maybe it really means they're mixing the Wuhan mRNA with the Omicron. God only knows what other kinds of things they would be putting in this. Number six, testing is starting on three-month-old babies. Listeners, I hope you heard this. Will you tell others prayerfully about DividedKingdomRadio.com? Will you pray for Lou and me? We're under some scrutiny. Yes, we're very small. We don't reach millions of listeners, but we do reach some thousands. We're certain of that. Pray for the warrior angels of God to be over us and definitely over Stu Peters, Jane Ruby, Karen Kingston, others, Carrie Madej, all the truth tellers who are Christian, many of them. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is a Christian. She witnesses to Jesus. Pray that God will keep his warrior angels over these people, over Steve Quayle, over Hawk, over God's watchmen. It's so important because we can't have a country here in which testing is starting on three-month-old babies, even as we see these obituaries with that girl who was only 26 years old, that outstanding Maryland scholar. An athlete was looking forward to making a difference with her life. 26 years old and died, quote, unexpectedly. So now about this testing starting on the three-month-old babies, James Roguski reminds listeners to Stu's program of all the miscarriages women have had after the COVID shots. Next, he predicted, they'll want to give COVID shots to the babies still in the womb. Stu told listeners, and all of you reading this, you should be absolutely furious when you find out the truth. And you should be. if you're a true Christian and you're not just a victim of churchianity, some other night we'll have to get into the big move from burials to cremation. Does God really want this? You know, sometime someone who's cremated, their great-grandchild is going to say, oh, I would like to learn about the history of my family, the genealogy. I would like to go visit the cemetery where my great-grandmother is. They can't see it. It's not there. We've heard that here in Maryland, a very wonderful little town called Easton, it was one of the 10 best towns in America, supposedly, but it's going very liberal lately. At the Roman Catholic school, the same school that Lou and I taught at years ago, it has a new building and a new location, but it has a new little space in front of the school, and it's for a crematorium with the ashes of people will be buried there. And I think not just Roman Catholics. It'll be buried there. Then we heard about another Methodist church, and that's St. Mark's Methodist Church in Easton again. And we don't hear that they've split with those Georgia churches over the LGBTQ issue. But another person said that she and her husband are going to have their, now isn't this a cute term, their cremains. We'd not heard it till this person said, we're going to have our cremains put right in there in the yard at St. Mark's. I don't think this is what God designed. You know, I could go and look in that little cemetery in New Paris, Pennsylvania. When I was a child, many of the Cuppets were buried there, and I could look at my own name, a young child who died either as an infant or had lived a few months. There was my name. Phoebe Elizabeth Cuppet in the early 1900s. There's my heritage. I don't know what that person would have done, but I'm sure she's in heaven, and she's probably very interested in what I'm saying here. These traditions mean something. Al Cuppet quoted this many times. We were not to destroy the old traditions. No, we don't want cancel culture. We don't want men urinating into other men's mouths and riding bicycles in the nude in front of our precious little children. Let's ask Jesus to save the soul of America. Lou, would you just give one quick prayer to the Lord to finish?
Lord God, we just pray that you'll watch over this nation and stimulate the people to come to you and to reform and to repent and to lead new, clean lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good night.